Listeners, we highly recommend that you watch the Change Agent vlog posted on AMPD's social media. The scenario presented in the vlog will help give context to the conversation throughout the podcast.
Welcome to NPD Soundbites from ANPD, the Association for Nursing Professional Development.
This is the NPD Forecast. Your hosts, Jen Bodine and Jillian Russell, are nursing professional development specialists with years of dynamic NPD experience. Jen and Jill round out ANPD's nursing professional development practice team and are your personal environmental scanning forecasters. This podcast series features topics that are relevant to the forecasting of future trends for NPD practice and discusses implications that you can apply to your daily practice.
That's pretty good. Welcome, everyone, to the NPD Forecast. I'm Jillian Russell.
And I'm Jen Bodine.
As Jen and I brainstormed the topics for 2021's NPD Forecast episodes, we thought it would be interesting to take the time and examine the roles of the NPD practitioner. We previously discussed the role of the leader with our president, Susan Binden, in our September podcast. And today we are going to explore the role of the change agent. Our scope and standards calls out the role of the change agent as working to transform processes at micro, meso, and macro system levels through inspiration, initiation, adoption, and sustainment of an adaptation to change using project management and improvement processes. Today, we want to discuss how this role actually translates into practice. So what does this all mean? It may be helpful to start by talking about how we operate as change agents within ANPD or how we have been change agents in the past at previous organizations and our roles as NPD practitioners. So Jen, I'm going to kick it to you. Can you speak a little bit about how we transform processes here at ANPD?
Sure. I think it's safe to say that we transform processes at all system levels. Whether we're looking at the microsystem level, at our processes of how the NPD team achieves their day-to-day work to provide the needed resources for our members, or the mesosystem level, where we collaborate and partner with other organizations and associations to achieve change, or the macro level, where our direction may be determined by accrediting agencies or federal policy. The inspiration aspect of change is accomplished in several different ways. We're a member-driven organization, which is one of my favorite parts about ANPD. So at times, change may be put into action through a grassroots approach from our members. I think this is when change is probably the most fun because our members are on the front lines and they're so passionate about what they do and they're really great at letting us know when change is needed. We're notified about these needs for change through various resources. Change can be indicated by trends we note in evaluations from our courses or from convention and webinars, or it can be driven by members who volunteer for our various committees. But we also might start investigating a need for change when we receive an email from an individual member, which I think is incredible that one member can really serve to drive change. We're very open to that type of feedback. And additionally, one of our most important responsibilities as NPD practitioners is we do a lot of environmental scanning. So this is where the inspiration aspect of change agent comes into play. We gather information from both internal and external sources. And Jill, I'm going to let you talk a little bit about how we use our strategic planning to guide change within the organization.
Yeah, another way ANPD looks for the need to change is through strategic planning. And this is a participative process where the ANPD board of directors, staff members, and members from our association itself sit down and look at important information gleaned from those environmental scanning resources, and then ultimately determine the direction for the association in the next several years.
So Jill, I think one example of how change has been driven by environmental scanning here at ANPD is we are often inundated by the amount of information we analyze that suggests the need for changes in NPD practice. And you really do need to take a look at that and decide what changes need to be a priority and what changes can kind of wait for down the line. And so we try our best to communicate this information to our members in resources such as trend lines, but we also saw that we needed to find a way to communicate this information through different platforms as we started to note a change in our membership. A lot of our members are extremely busy because they're on the front line, especially during this pandemic, and they need to receive their information in bite-sized quantities or on platforms where they can be on the move and multitask receiving information at the same time. And that's when the NPD team sat down and decided to add a podcast so that members could listen in their cars or on the treadmill or while they're waiting for an appointment at the doctor's office or even while they're riding the elevator up to another floor. This year, we've added a vlog, which is meant to deliver that bite-sized information to our members in a video format.
Yeah, Jen, the podcast has been such a great platform for us to share information with members. And now adding the vlog will just open another door of opportunity to share. And I wanted to jump back to the example of the strategic plan. And when change is driven by a new strategic plan here at ANPD, once it's created by the ANPD staff and NPD team, we actually work to operationalize it. That's really where the rubber meets the road. And this is where our creative strategies really come into play to meet the goals of the strategic plan and how we actually communicate these changes to our members.
So Jill, I'm glad you mentioned that because I think it's also important to mention that during strategic planning, we had our NPD team on, we had the ANPD board, but we also had members on. And that's going to come into play when we talk about how to plan for change, having those key stakeholders involved. Mm-hmm. Can you give an example of how you've acted as a change agent in the clinical setting?
Yeah, so I laugh, Jen, because the role of the change agent is really the one that I get the most excited about. And I laugh also because if you were to ask any of my former colleagues, I'm sure that they would share with you how much of a strong advocate I am for change and specifically change in process when it comes to streamlining efficiencies. So if there is not a process to support the work we're doing, let's create them. If there is a process that's not been reevaluated in quite some time, let's change them. And there's a simple question that we can really ask ourselves or our team members to discover what it is that that may benefit from change. I have to give credit where credit's due and give a shout out to our NPD colleagues, Caroline Bachman at Montana Nurses Association and the newly retired Pam Dickerson for this one. That question is, what bugs you? A very simple question. And oftentimes the answer to that question involves a process or lack thereof. So let's put this example into action. In a past role as an NPD practitioner, I had the opportunity to serve as the primary nurse planner for a couple of organizations, but one of which being a fairly large academic medical center in Tennessee. And I took on this role without a handover from the former primary nurse planner, unfortunately due to position cuts. So I was faced with a blank slate, or in this case, I like to see it as an opportunity to transform process. Impact was primarily felt at the micro and meso system level. Interdepartmentally, we had to ask ourselves, what bugs us the most? So I was able to facilitate, lead collaborative brainstorming sessions, dissecting that question of what bugs us. This ultimately transformed into a wish list. We had no boundaries. We dreamt big. We put ourselves in the shoes of our learners. We asked questions, what would make this work better? What would make this the ideal process to make documentation for Con Ed be seamless? So this wish list actually turned into our to-do list. We were able to operationalize it and implement those things that we were able to collaboratively brainstorm. I have to admit, I really do think that my enthusiasm for the role of the change agent, which I didn't know at the time that's exactly what I was doing, but reflecting back, I fulfilled the competencies of the role of the change agent in leading and transforming the processes to automate documentation efforts for our proof provider unit by leveraging technology, leveraging our team members and all of their expertise, not just NPD practitioners, but PD associates, IT, to ultimately improve workflow, customer service, et cetera.
So, Jillian, I think it's funny that you said, if I ask any of your former colleagues, listeners, I've worked with Jillian for 2 years now, and I will tell you, I haven't met a person on the planet who loves process or developing processes more than her. And I am usually the one who's resistant to the change when she suggests it, but I come out at the other end so grateful that that is what her passion is, because she has definitely streamlined a lot of processes for us here at AMPD, and we are sure appreciative of that.
Oh, thanks, so, Jen.
Sure. Next, we're going to talk about how NPD practitioners operationalize change through change theories. There's various change theorists and theories. The ones we focus on usually in AMPD when we're teaching our cert prep classes are Lewin's three-step change model, Rogers' diffusion of innovation theory, Lippitt's seven-stage model of change, Spradley's eight-step model, and appreciative inquiry. Now, Jillian, I've always been able to, I can look at these change theories, I can read about them. The issue I have and the reason why we really decided to approach this is the question of how do you take that theory and how do you operationalize it so that it really helps you at work. So what we decided to do for this podcast was to look at operationalizing that in the clinical setting and how you can use it, really utilize it to implement that change, get people on board and excited about that change, and adopt that change and sustain that change. So I looked up Lewin's three-step change theory, and then Jillian went on to look up appreciative inquiry. So we're going to talk about those two change theories today, because Lewin's, I felt, was a fairly simple model for us to discuss. And then Jillian, you wanted to do appreciative inquiry because both Jillian and I are big time crazy about design thinking right now. So that really aligned with that. So I'm excited for us to be able to talk to you, our listeners, about how you would actually implement these. So I'm going to start by talking a little bit about Lewin's three-step change theory, which is based on the premise that behavior is a dynamic balance of forces working in opposition. So driving forces facilitate change by pushing employees in a desired direction, and inhibiting forces hamper change because they push employees in the opposite direction. And then all of us NPD practitioners are familiar with when employees push back against the change. So we want to take a look at how we can decrease that resistance and help them feel a little more comfortable with that. So the first step is altering behavior to unfreeze, if you will, in the Lewin's three step, or agitate the status quo. Step one's necessary if resistance is to be overcome and conformity is to be achieved. Now, step two is change, and that involves movement of your employees, your staff to a new level of equilibrium. It helps them to view change from a new perspective, to work together to achieve desired outcomes of change, and to facilitate consistency among management and employees. And then finally, step three is refreezing, or attaining equilibrium with the newly desired behaviors. And that usually occurs after change is implemented so that the new behavior and desired outcomes can be integrated into the organization. What does that mean? And how can you use it to initiate, adopt, and sustain change in healthcare? So Jillian, let's have a conversation about the vlog we put out this week, where I had told you that we were going to implement a new software for our project tracking. Mm-hmm. And Jillian was resistant to that, and understandably so. I essentially just came up to her and told her, hey, this is what we're going to do, and suck it up, buttercup, because the whole team's doing it and this is how it's going to roll. So you can see where you would get some pushback. And actually, she was quite gracious about the pushback she gave me. I'm sure a lot of you have experienced something a little more egregious when we do that. So let's talk about things that we could have done to help Jillian wrap her head around this change. Mm-hmm. The first thing is probably communicate why that change is needed. And you can see that I've told Jillian, hey, this is going to happen regardless. And she's just hearing about it now.
And it's happening next week.
And it's happening next week. And as a lot of NPD practitioners will attest to, we are often told at the last minute that something is coming down the pike and it's going to be fairly quickly. It's been in the planning for about a year now, but they are just bringing NPD practitioners on board now.
Yep.
And then we have to be able to convey that change to staff. So that's some of the issues that we want to look at. So again, communicating that change. What's the issue with the current state of things as they are, and what is going to happen if that problem's not fixed? Like, Jillian, what are some of the things that we could have talked about? First, we should have brought you on from the get-go.
Right. As a stakeholder, and as far as somebody being impacted by the change as an end user, let's say, very important stakeholder to have at the table when bringing about change itself. What are the pressure points? What are the concerns? What's working well? How do you involve them in the change to gain their buy-in versus, hey, this is happening next week and that's it.
Jillian, actually, I was just speaking to one of our board members this afternoon about this because we were talking about the importance of communicating change to staff, but not just communicating change, but involving them in that change process. And it was Kathleen Opperman. And she was like, you have to look at the people who are the experts, which in a large part of the cases are the bedside nurses, right? Or our learners in our case. And what they do should be involved in that change process. Taking a look at them and their expertise should be called upon when you're planning that change. So you're a project manager for AMPD. I've just told you that you're going to track projects in an entirely different software, but your expertise is project management. So we should have involved you that from the get-go. Did we pick the right software for you? Was the change even needed, or are we already doing things optimally? I think that is a big thing to remember is if you have the power to do so, involve your end users, your learners from the very beginning, because that's going to do a lot to gain their buy-in. So Jillian, if I'm communicating what our current state is, which is we currently track our projects, but only you and I have access to that. But we work with a bigger staff and they have tasks that directly impact what we're doing and vice versa. The desired state is that we are all on the same tracking so that we don't double up on work or have to kind of middleman it through emails and whatnot. So communicating that to you would have been beneficial in, hey, what we're doing right now may be beneficial to you and I, but it's not beneficial to the whole team.
Sure, Jen. So next, there is the actual movement or implementation of change. This is where that equilibrium has been unfrozen. And after realizing that the way that you've always done things is no longer beneficial, that's when staff start to look at the issue with a new perspective and allowing them to give input for a solution. That's when that buy-in really starts to happen. The NPD practitioner and leadership should share information and observations in an open and honest way that helps to facilitate change in staff based on awareness, insight, and knowledge. The NPD practitioner also needs to have enough situational awareness to know if staff are not ready for that change. So they don't push the change too early because that ultimately would affect adoption of the change itself. Also, the NPD practitioner needs to be careful not to push their own agenda with their own biases or preferences. During this stage, the focus is really on staff member empowerment, motivation, and involvement in the process. Again, it's all about buy-in. Staff need continued support because at that time, they feel unsure or maybe even fearful of the change because it's outside of their comfort zone. Like me in the vlog recording, feeling like there's no way we can do this. It takes too much time. We have too many priorities. And not being involved in that conversation and communication up front puts an individual in that discomfort zone. So how can we support staff? We can support them through training, coaching, being assured that leadership understands that mistakes are part of the process and everyone will adjust accordingly. Role modeling is also so important in this phase because that NPD practitioner has the opportunity to role model and communicate clearly what that big picture is, what is the desired change, what are the benefits, so that staff ultimately don't lose sight of why that need for change is important.
I think that's true because that overlaps with our role as a leader, right? Often when I'm talking to NPD practitioners about leadership, I talk about the need to role model. And a lot of times you may not be on board with the change, but you have to role model what the behavior you're expecting from your learner, from staff is. And sometimes that's difficult to wrap your head around. But it's such an important part of being a leader and supporting that. And then there's even once you get the change going, and we've all seen this, you change a process on a unit, the way that people do things. And then a month down the road, 2 months down the road, you go back down there and they're right back to their old ways.
Yep.
Sustainability, I have found, has always been one of the most difficult parts of our job. How we sustain the things that we implement. And that's where Lewin's third step, refreezing, comes into play. And this is where staff or your learner actually accepts this new equilibrium, if you will. So they will sometimes revert to their previous habits. And that's where we need to support our learner or our staff in finding ways and techniques to sustain that change. You kind of have to be ever present until it's adopted into that culture. And these changes need to be tied into the staff's values and traditions to be successful. As we know, when you're able to impact somebody on the affective level, it becomes part of who they are and they're more likely to sustain that. This can be done through following up with staff after the change has been implemented to offer encouragement and evaluating if the change is actually having the desired effect. And this theory has come under some scrutiny due to the term freeze, which often seems rigid and inflexible. And adoption of change is often more fluid and continuous, especially in today's chaotic healthcare environment. I want you just to think about when we were hit with the pandemic, how flexible everybody had to be in those processes and figuring out what to do. So very fluid. So I like Mike Connolly's analogy that the refreeze stage is more like a soft serve ice cream or milkshake. They're frozen, but flexible. So now we are going to take a look at appreciative inquiry. Jill, can you lead us through what that is?
Sure. I like to think of appreciative inquiry as the glass is half full approach. And this moves from the paradigm that change should be based on a problem-based approach to one of positive change based upon existing strengths of the organization that the change will actually occur in. There's some similarities in the steps of appreciative inquiry to that of Lewin, and I'd like to give that comparison. So Lewin's first step of unfreeze. The first two steps of appreciative inquiry include discovery, which is the mobilization and engagement piece, so involving your stakeholders. And then dreaming is the second stage, creating a clear results-oriented vision. And I like to, I'm really taken back to that dreaming big example with our provider unit and the processes that we were able to implement because we really did dream big. We had no limits, no bounds throughout that unfreezing stage. The next step in appreciative inquiry is design. For Lewin's comparison, this would equate to moving. In appreciative inquiry, we magnify the positive core of organizational design. So we're really leveraging those players, those key stakeholders, to actually facilitate and implement the change itself. And then finally, destiny or sustainability is the final stage of appreciative inquiry. And that equates to Lewin's refreezing stage. I really do think that example I shared earlier, Jen, it was appreciative inquiry in action. And this is where you, as NPD practitioners, we may not realize that we are following change theory in change implementation. So when you have this moment of realization of, wow, these change theories really do support the work that I'm doing, you can be more purposeful and proactive in following those steps to ensure that you're successful in your role as a change agent. I know that I was able to lead effectively the change that was needed for our team and support a shift in thinking from focusing on the negative aspects to one that's full of opportunity. And yeah, really, the glass is half full. And I personally have grown to always see the opportunity in any and all things.
So Jillian, we'd mentioned earlier you liked appreciative inquiry because it aligned with design thinking. In what way is it aligning with design thinking? Because you and I are really exploring that this year.
Yeah. So design thinking is a human-centric approach to solving problems or opportunities, if you will. And design thinking, the first step of empathy and putting those users or whoever's impacted by whatever the issue is, putting them first. What are their needs? How can change be modified to support their needs? And appreciative inquiry, having that discovery stage, the dream phase, that's really tapping into the empathy component. And you mentioned the affective domain as well. And I just see a really nice correlation to the design thinking approach, appreciative inquiry. Our role as change agents, they're all intertwined. The design thinking framework gives us this opportunity to flex our creative muscles that really support our role as a change agent. We have to be innovative. We have to be flexible. We have to involve our stakeholders. So again, here I am getting really excited and geeked out about design thinking, the role of the change agent. And it's like this light that's shining bright on our opportunity to really impact not just staff, our learners, but really at the end of the day, it's about patient outcomes and how can we impact them? How can we make a difference? Now, I want to acknowledge that being a change agent is never easy. So Jen, tell us about some challenges change agents encounter.
Sure. And I think we've already kind of brushed on some of those. But it's human nature for people to resist change, which is why I'm always shocked when people don't understand that people are being resistant, because people want to stay inside their comfort of the status quo. I'm the same way when change is introduced to me. And I mean, I go through change constantly. I'm a military spouse, so I'm moving every couple of years, having to make new friends every couple of years. I mean, I'm always in the midst of change, but I'm always uncomfortable with the unknown. There's a lot of reasons why people are resistant. It's hard to break our habits. People can't identify how the change benefits them. We're always talking about the what's in it for me factor and why the benefits of that change would outweigh the discomfort of the change itself. And this resistance can make things very difficult for NPD practitioners who are tasked with initiating and supporting change. And that's why communication early and often is so important. And I already said that sometimes we may not be on board with that change ourselves. And often that is because we get called in at the end of a process and just told that we need to implement it. We can allay this if we are involved with the change process from the beginning, which I know a lot of NPD practitioners who are listening to this right now are probably laughing about, because we are most often bought in right there at the end of the process. So how can we be more proactive ensuring that we are integrated into the entire process? And I think one of the ways to do that, to be at the forefront of change, is by making sure that we're part of our organizational committees and advertising our role as a change agent to organizational leadership. When I was an NPD practitioner in a clinical setting, I would sit there and I would elbow myself into meetings if I thought there was going to be something that even slightly affected the education department. I had no qualms about doing that because I don't like being caught off guard. Sometimes leadership can approve a change but fail to provide the support for sustaining it. This can be frustrating, and it's why it's necessary for NPD practitioners to be aware of organizational politics and how to navigate them. A champion at the leadership level is always helpful, and the NPD practitioner should communicate the type of support they need very early in the process. But I don't want to give the impression that being a change agent is always a negative experience. Jillian, can you give us some ways that we can shine at being a change agent?
Yeah, I really want to bring us back to the question, what bugs you? And this is where we have that opportunity to shine as change agents. Every single day, we have to embrace the competencies for NPD practitioners. And these are found in standard 11 in our scope and standards, which is change management. We are continuously scanning our environment for trends, issues. We're networking, collaborating with stakeholders. We work with them to identify the needs for change and really what are the solutions. It's one thing to brainstorm, quote, the problems. It's a whole different ballgame to brainstorm the solutions and to do that together. We have to arm ourselves with data, build a business plan for change, anticipate that resistance for change because you know it will happen.
It will.
And all of these things really, they will empower you in your role as a change agent.
So I want to recap real quick about the vlog and things we could have done better. First, bringing you in from the very get-go, when we decided we needed something for the entire team to align how we tracked projects.
Yep.
And then as a stakeholder, you're involved in what we choose so that you can pick things that work for you and the way you process information so that the whole team has a say in it. And then letting you know when this is going to unfold more than a week beforehand.
Right.
Giving you that date, providing training to you to support you. And then after we roll out that change, we would take a look at how it's going for you. Is it actually working for you? Is it helping you manage your projects better? Are you noticing that things are more aligned and in tune with the team? Mm-hmm. And is this something that's sustainable, or do we need to go back to the drawing board and look for something different that's better for the team?
Right.
And I think that those are the ways that we could have communicated that change better and have you adopt them better. Did you have anything you wanted to add to that, Jillian?
No, Jen, I agree. As you're talking though, I can visualize the steps of the change series as you're describing. So seeing Lewin in action and appreciative inquiry, how that could have been improved, how that encounter could have been improved upon. But then also design thinking. It's all coming full circle for me. Jen, this has been a really great conversation to focus on the role of the change agent. And I really look forward to dissecting our other roles in 2021. Listeners, thank you so much for taking the time to explore the role of the change agent, your role as a change agent. There are, of course, a number of resources that we'd like to share with you, and one of which is our Scope and Standards of Practice. If you do not have a copy of this in your office, you need one. Standard 11, specifically, that of change management, is really where our competencies are founded from. We also have a really unique opportunity coming down the pike for project management and change management skill development. Stay tuned for details on that one, but this is something that will facilitate your ability to be an effective change agent. We also are in the midst of a design thinking book club via Trendlines. We encourage you to join us in this journey of exploring each step of the design thinking process. We will be sure to put links in the podcast discussion forum thread so you can take advantage of these resources and see what works best for you and for your team members. Speaking of the podcast discussion forum, I'd like to direct you there to post questions or comments regarding the role of the change agent. Jen and I are eager to hear from you and eager to interact with you. You can access this through the Tools and Resources tab at www.anpd.org. You'll select the podcast forum, and then you will see this episode's topic. You can listen to our podcast series by subscribing to NPD Forecast on the ANPD website, on the podcast page, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. Thank you all, and we'll see you next month.
This NPD Forecast series analyzes information gathered through environmental scanning. Our goal at ANPD is to be your leading resource for NPD practice. If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star rating on your preferred podcast platform, as well as a review. And if you feel so inclined, share with your friends and colleagues on social media. Be sure to tag ANPD when you do. Those ratings and reviews help us grow this platform and extend our reach. As NPD practitioners, we know our strength is in our sense of community. So the more you share the NPD forecast, the more valuable this environmental scanning resource will be. We would love to hear from you and encourage you to post podcast topic recommendations in the podcast discussion forum available on our website.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit our website at anpd.org.